Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to talk about seven ways guaranteed to get a grip.
All right.
You're going to like this. You ever heard somebody use that expression, just get a grip? Have you ever said, well, I can't seem to get a grip on this situation? Have you ever told someone, you need to get a grip? As we were meditating, it stirred in us that believers need to get a grip of what's been holding them back from achieving what God created and endowed them to do and fulfilling His vision for 2021. If we were to look up the definition, get a grip, in the dictionary, you'd find two definitions. To make an effort to control your emotions and behave more calmly, and to understand how to deal with something. There's only one person who can help you get a grip. Many people have friends and family that will listen to your dilemma, but you can't be assured they won't judge you or talk about what they've heard. Matthew 11:28-30, Message Bible. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unenforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly.
You can get away, you know, with the one who can actually make your yoke easy and your burden light. The great thing about the Holy Spirit is that when you talk, He listens, and He can answer and direct you, all without the meter running. That's something to be said.
No charge.
Proverbs 3:5-6. In the Message Bible says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. We can rejoice because God will keep us on track. He promised. Jeremiah 33:2-3. Jeremiah 33:3 we call God's telephone number. That's what Grandma called it. Mama. Grandma to my children. In the Classic Amplified, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. We also want to share the Message Bible translation of Jeremiah 33:3. It says, I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. That is a hallelujah.
It is a hallelujah.
If I've ever heard one.
Absolutely. Praise God, though, honey.
Yes.
We can have the confidence in knowing when we don't know what to do, how to handle a particular problem, God always does.
Yes, hallelujah.
Psalm 86:5-7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. We want to tell you one other thing that we really love about God. He's available weekends, holidays, 24/7. Jeremiah 29:12-14. Classic Amplified. Then you'll call upon me, and you'll come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you'll speak me. Then you'll seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity.
Hallelujah. You know, our Heavenly Father will also teach us how to overcome our past, you hear me, and the adversities of life so that we can have a rich and satisfying and peaceful life. A rich and satisfying life talked about in John 10:10. We really like it in the New Living Translation.
Yes, we do.
Isaiah 41:8, Message Bible. Isaiah 41 verse 8 says, "Don't panic, I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength, I'll help you, I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you." Some people can never get a grip on life because they're always more concerned about what other people think about them than what God thinks about them. But here's a fact. When you think about you, what you think about you, the image you have about you is more important than what anybody else thinks about you. And when you realize that God thinks highly of you, you can rest. We need to realize that other people probably don't think about you nearly as much as you think they think about you.
Here are five things to help you come to grips with how you see you. Number one, who's your daddy? Who is your daddy? Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We like the New Living Translation of Genesis 1:26, which says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." We are created. We were created to be like the master of the universe. Now, that ought to help you, your self-image.
I'll say.
When you get that down inside of you.
You may have been born from earthly parents, but when you are born again,
come on now,
then you are into a whole new realm.
Absolutely.
Number two, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Oh, I wish I could say that over and over. First, there is nobody else like you in the whole world. God made you to be unique, a one of a kind. Nobody has your fingerprints, voice prints, and nobody has your purpose that God put you here for either.
That's it.
You are not comparable to anyone else.
You know, honey, when I was in high school, I always justified my behavior by comparing myself to other people. I remember saying, at least I didn't do what they did. But truthfully, our only measure of comparison should be Jesus. WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's much more than a slogan on a bracelet.
That is true.
It should be a reality as we live our lives.
That's right. Number three, create a list of things in your life that you're proud of, regardless of how big or small. Truly, even raising children is huge. I'm looking at a book in the library, literally, as we were teaching this entitled Thus Far. It was actually an autobiography some years ago now of Kelsey Grammer, known as Frasier Crane on the TV shows of Cheers and Frasier. The title suggests that, you know, that he isn't through being creative yet. And we don't need to be either. As long as we have a pulse, we have a purpose.
That's it.
As we create and as you create your list, remember the words found in Zechariah 4:10, 4:10 in the New Living Translation. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin.
Number four, run out the list of things that are most positive in your life. Character qualities, work habits. Hear me, please. If you don't see the good in you, nobody else will. Ask those closest to you to help you list your most positive characteristics. They should give you an honest answer. And once you find that out, you can maximize your strengths.
And number five, if you were making the list on number four, there are going to be things that you think about, well, that you want to change. So write out a list of the things that you need or want to change in your life. Not only make the list, but then create a plan to implement those changes that you feel need to be changed. God will help you. The Holy Spirit will direct you in the way that you need to go and the way in which you need to change. Then remember, change is a door that can only be opened from the inside. It's something you need to decide. And if you feel the pressures of life like dog piling on you, maybe it's time to step back so you can step up.
Ooh, I like that.
Need to get a grip? Focus on these six steps.
Number one, rest your mind. Exodus 14:14, Classic Amplified. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Number two, relax your grip. Relax your grip. Psalm 9:9, the Message Bible. God's a safe house for the battered, a sanctuary during bad times. The moment you arrive, you relax. You're never sorry that you knocked.
You might say sometimes you grip the wrong things.
That's true.
Number three, reflect on your future. Psalm 119:15 in the New Living Translation. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Number four, refresh your soul. Matthew 11:28 in Classic Amplified offers us some refreshing that never ends. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls.
Wow. Number five, renew your hope. Renew your hope. Psalm 94:19, New Living Translation. When doubts fill my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Some of you really need to grab a hold of that because you may have a challenge this week. But with that scripture and reflecting in it and making it real in your life, you'll be ready. You'll be ready.
Hallelujah. And amen. Number six, rejoice in the opportunities God is giving you today as you get out today. Psalm 118:24, Classic Amplified says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Before we end this call today, I want to give you two powerful quotes. First one is from Anonymous. Whoever that is. But he's very prolific with quotes. Or
there
she.
There you go.
Or they.
And all of them.
Here's the quote. Keep dwelling on your past and you'll never get a grip on your future.
Wow.
Strong. Bishop T.D. Jakes said, it is possible for you to get a grip on the thing that used to have a grip on you.
Mm.
And instead of controlling you, you are now controlling it.
That's right.
That's powerful.
That is powerful.
Well, next time somebody says, get a grip, say, I already do. I got the Word of God in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to heraldhearing.com if you've been blessed by the teaching of the ministry. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.